have blessed us with, the ones we know about, the ones we don't know about. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And now, Father, as I minister your word, I pray that those under the sound of my voice will have hearing ears, ears to hear, and have a heart to receive your word. Glory to your name. Thank you, Father, for your anointing upon me to minister your word. Jesus said, without him, we can do nothing. But through him, we can do all things. So, Father, I thank you for working through me in this service today. And we'll give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, excuse me, when you're walking with the Lord, and I just believe someone need to hear this, but when you're walking with the Lord, you're walking in fellowship with the Lord. When it seems the darkest, God is still at work on your behalf. Amen. When you feel the weakest, God is still at work on your behalf. One of the reasons the Bible says, let the weak say I'm strong. Hallelujah. Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 17. I want to read a portion of a verse, and I may come back to it and read some additional verses. But in Acts chapter 17, I want you to look at verse 28, and I'm only going to read a portion of this verse. Acts 17, verse 28. It says, for in him we live and move and have our being. That's just the first part of the verse I'm reading. For in him we live and move and have our being. And my subject today is two words. In him. In him. Or you could say in Christ. In him. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. How many of you know that as a believer in Christ Jesus, you are in him? Amen. You are in him. You are in him. Now, if we are in him, then we have everything that the Word of God says that we have in him. We can do everything that the Word of God says that we can do in him. But now let's start at the beginning. In the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, I'll begin, and you probably know this verse by heart, but I'll begin reading. Let me see where I want to begin. I'll just begin at verse 17. In verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is what? In Christ. If you are in Christ, if you are in him, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. We walk in newness of life. Verse 18 says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself. How? How? Through Christ, through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Let's read on. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. How? How? We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Glory be to God. So, one thing we need to learn, and we must learn, that we are in him, and really, we need to go through our Bibles, go through the New Testament, and find out what we have in him and find out what we can do through him. Find out what rightfully belongs to us because we are in him. Amen. I want you to turn back to 1 Corinthians. The very first chapter. Hallelujah. Now, God is so amazing. Wow. God is awesome, folks. When God wants something done, he get it done. The word of God says, with God, all things are possible. And with God, nothing is impossible. Think about this for a moment. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed on him would not perish but have everlasting life. Here's something you need to understand about God. He sought us out. We weren't looking for him. Even when God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and he was talking about mankind, not just Adam, but Adam and Eve, his wife, God was looking for somebody to bless. He was looking for somebody to bless. He wanted to be a blessing to someone, so he created man, created him a garden first, in other words, created him a beautiful place to live. You notice that God, when he created the Garden of Eden, he didn't put briars and thorns and things in the garden that would be harmful to man. He made him a beautiful place to dwell. Amen. Now understand, I want you to stay with me. That's the God we serve. The Bible says he does all things well. He does all things well. And you know what? We should act just like him. Seek to do all things well also. Amen. And I know I'm a little off my subject here, but let me go ahead and say this because it's important. If you're doing something in the name of Jesus, you need to do it well. Don't half do it. If you're doing it for God, don't half do it.
Amen.
If you're giving someone something, don't give them something you wouldn't use.
Amen.
Don't give them something that need to go in the trash.
Right.
If you're going to give, give your best. In other words, God's called us to be people of excellence. Because he is a God of excellence. Are you still with me? Amen. And I've been around Christians that just make do. Well, you know, this is for the church or this is whatever, you know. We can get by because nobody's going to say anything. No, we should always have a spirit of excellence about us in whatever we do for God. Amen. Now, when God created the garden, it was an excellent place. Adam and Eve had a beautiful place to live. You hear me? Adam and Eve had a beautiful place to live because God is a God of excellence. He does all things well. You hear me? He does all things well. But you know, of course, you know the story. Adam fell. But look at somebody and tell them, say, God's going to have his way. God's going to have his way. Now, God would never violate your will. Okay, understand that he will never violate your will. If you decide you want to go to hell, God will let you. That's not his will for you. But why you say that, Pastor? Because we're created in his image and in his likeness. And because we're created in his image and his likeness, we have a free will. We can make up our own mind about our future, and God will let us do that. But here's my point I want to make to you. God always, everybody say always.
Always.
God always has a way of escape. He's going to make sure. He's going to have his way there. He's going to make sure that you always have a way of escape if you choose to escape. Now, the devil tried to stop it. He tried to stop it with Adam and Eve. He failed, or he thought he had won, but he failed. Because God found a way to get Jesus Christ into earth without sin. Think about this for a moment. Think about this for a moment. Satan himself had become the god of this world, little g. Adam had sold out. Now, what is God going to do? How is he going to deliver his people now? So God says, I got a way. God always has his way. He says, I got a way. I'm going to send my son. But now, naturally thinking, how can he do that? How can he get Jesus into the earth without sin? And yet, him being a man, God had a way. Mary got pregnant. She was impregnated. You have to understand, Jesus had to be born a man, a human being, in order to die for us. Y'all follow me? He had to be born a human being to die for us. An angel couldn't do the job. He had to be just like his brethren to redeem his brethren. But if Joseph had been his dad, then Jesus himself would have needed a Savior. But God, in all of his wisdom, impregnated Mary by the Holy Ghost. Therefore, Jesus had his connection to heaven, but he also had his connection to earth. He was now, and Satan couldn't do a thing about it. He could now redeem you and me from our sins. Think about that. The wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. So down through the generations, Satan tried to stop it, but he couldn't stop it. He couldn't stop it. So let me go where I'm going here. What I want you to see is not only is God a God of excellence, but he's a God of love, and he's a God that's going to have his way. There's always going to be an open door for you and I to walk through. Hallelujah. And the devil can't stop it. And it's in him. It's in Christ Jesus. It's through Christ Jesus. All right. Now, do you have Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1? Now, our subject is still in him, but I want you to see something here. I probably won't finish this, but we'll get there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 26. Well, I tell you what, let's back up to verse 18. We'll start there. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Somebody shout amen. Amen. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made, now follow this, has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Are you still hanging in there? So now look at verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Wonder why? Well, I'll tell you some of it. They're trusting in their riches. They're trusting in their education. They're trusting in other things and not trusting God. Amen. Look at verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. Now, I want to stop right there for a moment. Now, I want you to understand something. Matter of fact, guys upstairs, give me verse 26 in the New Living Translation. I'll read verse 26, 27, and 28. I want you to grab a hold of where I'm going here. Verse 26, New Living Translation, please. It says, remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes. Can I get an amen there?
Amen.
Or powerful, or wealthy when God called you. Now, don't get me wrong. He came to save everyone. But some folk feel like I don't need him. I got everything going well. I got plenty of money in the bank. Got three and four houses and five or six cars and got all the women or men I want, and I just got everything I want, so I don't need God. That's the reason some people, not everybody feel that way. Thank God there are wealthy people that trust the Lord. They're not trusting in their wealth. They're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Because wealth is going to burn one day. All this stuff is going to burn. But let me read it again. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful, or wealthy when God called you. Verse 27. Verse 27. All righty. Verse 27, New Living Translation. All right, there we go. There we go. Instead, God chose things the world considered foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. Verse 28. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. Here's what I'm getting at. God chose you and me. And many of us had nothing. We weren't important. Not all of us, but many of us. Very few people knew who we were. We didn't have any influence over anyone else's life. But yet God chose us, didn't he? He chose us. In other words, God loves to take nothing and make something out of it. Now, let me say this before I move on. Anybody in here, you raise your hand if you want to, but you don't have to, but I'm going to ask the question. Anybody in here have anybody in here ever been told that you're never going to amount to anything? You would never be nothing. A few of you. And like I said, you didn't have to raise your hand. Well, I got news for you. I've been told that too. Before I got saved and after I got saved. But I'm here to tell you what people say is not the last word. Come on, listen to me now. Listen to me. What folks say about you is not the last word. God always has the last word. You tell me I'll never be nothing, I'll prove you wrong. You tell me I won't make it, I'll prove you wrong. If it's in line with God's word, if it's in line with God's will for my life, I'll prove you wrong. Is there anybody else in here? Why do you say that, Pastor? Because God takes nothing and makes something out of it. Those that are submitted to him and committed to him. Hallelujah. All right, now I need to read on. So, verse 28 again, and I'm reading from the New King James Bible. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are. Now, verse 29 says that no flesh should glory in his presence. By the way, folks, when God bless you, give him the glory, will you? Are you still here? When God bless you, give him the glory. Give him the glory. If God bless you financially, give him the glory. If God blesses you materially, give him the glory. Whatever good come into your life, give God the glory for it. Don't rely on your own smarts. Let me say that again. Do not rely on your own intelligence. You know why? Because it can be taken away from you. Isn't it sad? There are folks that spend years and years and lots of money on their education, and they get tons of degrees. And the devil being the devil that he is, they wind up having a stroke or some other disease and never get to enjoy all the work that they, all the sacrifices that they've made. That's the reason, folks, we got to give God the glory. We got to give God the glory, folks. God promised to bless us. He promised to help us, but we need to give him the glory. So that's what we see in verse 29. It says God takes nothing and he makes something out of it, but verse 29 says that no flesh should glory in his presence. You know, people compliment. I receive compliments. Praise God. I give compliments. You've received compliments, right? Things that you've done and accomplished. Don't ever forget to say thank you. To God be the glory. Thank you. To God be the glory. It wasn't my smarts. It was him working through me. It was him blessing me with the ability to have what I have or to accomplish what I have accomplished. He took nothing and made something out of it. He took nothing and made something out of it. That's how God operates. He takes nothing and makes something out of it. Even if you think you something, you need to drop down to be nothing so that he can make something out of you. That's what Paul said, the Apostle Paul said, I had to become nothing so that that he could make something out of me. Everything that I accomplished, I just counted as dung that I may win Jesus Christ. And oh, what a great man of God the Apostle Paul was. And this was a well-educated man. He was no dummy, okay? This was a well-educated man. But when he met Jesus, he realized, wait a minute, this is what I have accomplished. This is nothing. Right now, I want to win Jesus Christ. And guess what? God used his intelligence. You know what I'm saying? God used what he had, but you know what? He gave it to God. He gave it to God. He didn't get puffed up and... This is... I got some instigators out here in the congregation. I was listening at... Bob Yandian on one of his recordings on YouTube, and he was talking about how folks get all wrapped up and doctor this and doctor that and bishop this and so forth, and he said they didn't call Jesus Dr. Jesus. I got to think about that thing. They didn't. He wasn't Dr. Jesus. He was Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not being mean. Y'all follow me? Y'all do follow me, right? I'm not. If that's your title, God bless you. Amen. Praise God. You've accomplished that in your life. But what I'm saying is, don't rest on that. Your trust is in the Lord. Your trust is in the Lord. And whatever you've accomplished, He blessed you to get that. Amen. Praise God. Anybody else here saw that? Okay. And I know you did. I had to laugh myself. I thought that was funny when I watched that. Praise God. Amen. All right, let's move on. Now, look, having read all that, we're down at verse 30 now, and listen at what he says. But of him you are in Christ Jesus. You see that? In him. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. In him. Amen. Jesus Christ has become my wisdom. In him. And if I learn, he's already on the inside of me. If I learn more about him through his word, I have the opportunity to operate in godly wisdom. Hallelujah. He is my righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
He is my sanctification. I've been ministering to you and teaching you on that. We're set apart because we're in him. We're redeemed because we're in him. I didn't pay the price for it. He did. He redeemed me. Adam gave us away to the devil, but Jesus bought us back by his blood. Isn't that amazing? Selling off your offspring. Mama Eve and Daddy Adam. All of us are kin. What in the world? Why are we fighting one another? Why are we fighting because of skin pigmentation? We all go back to Adam. We all go back to Eve. Don't we? Yes, we do, unless you're an alien. Praise God. He redeemed us. He paid the price. And what a high price he had to pay. What am I saying? In him. We have everything we need now or that we'll ever need. Amen?
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Like I said, I didn't finish. There's some other things I want to tell you, but I wanted to lay that foundation for you. We are in him. Therefore, we need to learn what's available to us because we are in him. But we certainly must never forget to give him all the glory and all the praise for everything that he has done for us. All the doors that he's opened for us, give him praise. I said, give him praise. And if you've been lied to and been told that you will never amount to anything, I want to charge you right now in the name of Jesus, change that. Because he takes nothing and makes something out of it. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you. And we give you glory for your word. Thank you.